You are listening to the Mother of All Podcasts.
Each week, we will break down a popular topic revolving around parenting and relate it back to our own lives. We're not parenting experts, but we're living out parenting each day and sharing our experiences along the way.
Hey everyone, so if you haven't already heard, Taylor and I are affiliates for the Go Guarded company. The way I learned about them is because I am a runner and I love anything that can make me feel comfortable on my run. So Jody Fisher is fabulous. We had an episode with her previously. She talks about the company and all the wonderful products that she has for anybody who's a runner, likes to be active, out, hiking, walking across campuses, walking to your car, any way to keep females and males safe in any instance. So go ahead and go to our show notes, click the link, use the code M-O-T-H-E-R in all caps. So that's mother in all caps for 10% off. And you will love this. I promise. You'll love it.
Welcome back to the Mother of All Podcast. This is one of your hosts, Sam.
And I'm Taylor.
And today we are so excited to be here with Mallory Pro with Sense of Play STL. So Mallory, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're so excited that you were able to come on and talk with us today.
I know. So would you mind kind of telling us about yourself a little bit and then kind of how Sense of Play came to be?
Sure. So I'm a mom. I have four kids. I have a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and 3-year-old twins. I taught for about 10-ish years because I took a leave of absence right before COVID hit. I wasn't working that year. But right before COVID hit, I also found out I was pregnant with the twins. So that meant I wasn't going back to teaching as planned because I was due at the beginning of the school year. Terrible idea. And since COVID was all up in the air, I became an official stay-at-home mom. Essentially, I got a little bored and started making just kind of sifting through my Pinterest boards of things that I'd saved for my kids and working on those while we were all home. And I would stress my sister-in-law out by sending her pictures of things I was letting my two kids do, like my 4 and almost 2-year-old. And she's like, "You're really stressing me out." And I was like, "Really? Like, this didn't bother me." And I had a friend tell me, she said, "I would pay you to do this stuff with my kids." And I was like, "Oh, really?" Like, it had never occurred to me that people weren't like me, I guess. And so I started kind of dabbling in sensory bins and like making some things for my own kids and start selling them like on the crafted groups or to friends or making them for family members and kind of just dropping them off. It started as like a, you know, COVID part, like a gift of something to do, like, "Here, I brought you something to do with your children for the next 2 hours." And it just kind of exploded from there. I decided after my twins were born that I really missed teaching because I had planned on going back, but there's just, I mean, it's impossible. Their kids are, at that point, I would have had 4 kids in daycare. It's just, it doesn't make any sense on a teacher's salary.
Nope.
So I thought, you know what? Maybe I can make something of this because I thought I could probably combine the messy art play and projects that I like to with my kids and the sensory projects. And I didn't really see anything else around us that had that. There's some different art play classes and then obviously like the sensory gym, like we wrap the spectrum and things like that, but nothing that combined both. And so that's kind of how it was born. I just started play and I thought I hosted a free event as like a invitation just to see how it would run like a class, and from there I just started hosting in local parks, and now I'm at Kirkwood Community Center through their Parks and Rec program in the winter. I've been at We Rock the Spectrum. I have a handful of different private places that I hold classes for off and on throughout the year. And then I've done a few Parents as Teachers group connections if you are part of your Parents as Teachers group out there. I do some of those. I've done one for Pattonville, and I have one for Ladue coming up, and one for Rockwood.
That's so neat.
I'm all over the place.
Yeah, I love that you are involved with parents as teachers, because like I have a 3-year-old too, and so she's still, and I have a 4-year-old, so like she still comes, and obviously they, my kids, as soon as she walks in, like it's Miss Lisa, and my kids, like they act like she's Mary Poppins, and they're already digging in her bag because they can't even say hi. And my youngest will say, "Where's your quaffs? Where's your quaffs?" And I'm like, "Stop! Let her get in the door."
Let her walk in. Get settled. Yeah, I understand.
I think that's so awesome.
Yeah.
It's, I love the idea that you already have it like created, because there are like, we have in my home, my kids love crafts, but sometimes I almost need that organization of like, here, this is what you're going to do.
Yeah. And I love doing process based art projects where it doesn't really matter what they come up with. It's more of the exploration. Yeah. But the sensory bins, I did not know the fear that some parents have based off the mess. It just did not occur to me. And some parents are so nervous to do a sensory bin in their house because they're just so afraid of, they just don't want to deal with mess. And so in my classes, I try to set up different ways or explain, like I put down a big sheet where I have my big bins, and I explain that this helps at home too. It gives the kids a play space. I talk about the rules that I give my own children when it comes to sensory play. But I also just, I mean, like all kids love painting. They all love it. And they will paint, with maybe the exception of one of my twins. He will paint his hands and then just be done with it. He's like, "Now I'm finished. You can go ahead. I'll go back to my truck." But if I incorporate the things he loves into paint, he'll paint for as long as I let him. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
Yeah, no.
You definitely answered our question. Yes. Okay, so I have a question. So you talked about how you've been a teacher, how you had been a teacher for about 10 years before COVID and everything like that had happened. You said you also, in your bio that you sent to us, you said that you have a master's degree in educational innovation. Can you explain what this is? Because I'm a teacher and I find this very interesting. I've never heard of it and I'd like to know what it is.
Okay, so it's through Webster. And to be honest, I don't know if they even offer the program anymore. It was wonderful when I took it. I talked about educational sustainability, like around the world. I had classes all about different ways for to help with sustainability. We talked about different ways to educate the different refugees that come to the United States and about our large Bosnian population. I learned so much about that because in the 90s, I think it was in the 90s, and I could be wrong about the dates, please don't quote me, but I had no idea that it even happened, and so I learned so much about that. But overall, the master's degree, other than the sustainability part, I was able to channel it into whatever category I wanted. So I did an emphasis on educational technology, which is hilarious considering how much trouble I just had getting onto this with you guys. Apparently you either use it or lose it. But I did most of my specialty classes in educational technology. But that is not the title of my master's degree, which is very odd. But I got to explore like different areas of gifted education and different areas of educational technology and sustainability. And so it was actually really kind of broad. I guess.
Yeah.
But it was super interesting. And that's, I had a really idealistic view of getting my master's degree. I wanted something that was going to be interesting. I didn't want to be an administrator ever. That sounds awful to me. Great for other people. But I wanted something I'd use right away. And so I guess that kind of sounds made up, doesn't it?
When I saw it, I was like, Taylor, I don't work in education. I work in healthcare. So I was like, I was like, I feel like an idiot. I don't know what this is, Taylor. Like, I thought it was maybe related to like how you did the sense of play. And I was like, that's so cool. She got a master's to help with it.
I wish that were true. Like, we're very grumpy upstairs after Thanksgiving.
I get that. That's a long break.
It is. My kids were so angry this morning getting up from school.
Yeah. Never mind. We were so grumpy.
Mine was like, I don't want to go to school today. I want it to be another. And then my kids call it like stay home days rather than like the weekend. Yeah. They're like, I want to stay home day. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry to tell you, I want to stay home day too, but we don't have one.
It's Monday.
Yes.
Sorry. We have a full week this week, not just 2 days.
That's right.
Exactly. I was like, So for sense of play, like kits, because you're even on, are you on Shop? Is it, I'm not up to the like websites. Is it Shopify? Well,
it's Shopify. It's just a a host site. I'm not even. My husband actually does this for a living. So you think mine would be a little bit better, but it's not. It's fine. It does, but it avoids all the Etsy fees, which I wasn't really keen on. The sensory kits. I love making them because it gives me like a creative outlet. You don't need a themed sensory kit at all. You can dump dry beans in a bin with some scoops and cups and get all of the benefits of sensory play. But who doesn't love a theme?
Yeah.
And I just like colors. It makes me happy. Kids do too, but they don't always need it. So it's definitely not a necessity, but I just enjoy them. Just enjoy making them.
I can imagine how fun. I feel like it would be fun to make them.
It is really fun, and it takes a lot of time, but not as much as I thought it would. And I'm not the greatest salesperson because I'll flat out tell you exactly how I make it, but it's a matter of whether or not you want to buy all supplies and take, 30, 40 minutes out of your day to make rainbow rice, or you could just buy it for me.
So I'm on your website right now. But you have like holiday theme sensory bins. Yes. So like Christmas and Snowy Kingdom, hot cocoa. I love that.
That one smells like chocolate.
It smells like chocolate too. That's so amazing.
If they eat it, will it hurt them?
No, it's all non-toxic paint, and I mean, it won't taste very good.
Okay.
And they might get, their face might, like if they ate blue rice, it might turn their mouth blue, but they're going to spit it out and just have a blue mouth. And it's washable, so it helps.
Oh, good.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. So I do have a question for you about the different types of sensory things that you have available. Is there, like, what is, I guess, the technical like benefit to using sensory items with your children? Or is there like a known benefit of it? Is this just something that like kids tend to like? Or because I've never like dove into like a sensory bin. I have a lot of friends that have made their own, or they've gone out and bought one or anything like that. I wouldn't consider myself one of the people that's like worried about a mess. You should see my playroom right now. but
it's not something you've done.
It just takes a lot of time. Like I cook with my kids all the time. That's fine. Yeah. Stuff like that. But like a sensory bin, like it just does seem like a lot of time to put it together, which is where you can come in. But but what is the benefit for kids?
So almost all kids love them, which is the first benefit. I have put out a bin, and I mean, sometimes we have one that I keep in my garage, which I've pulled out for my twins when the big kids were like riding bikes and things like that. And we have from my twins age 3 to all the way up to 9 on our, like just right here next door. And so they all of them will stop by and play for a little bit. So that's one benefit. It spans all ages. So all 4 of mine can play in the same bin. They just play different ways. They are starting to wear, they they want, because we do it so often, they want their own bin, and they want it to be a very specific items inside of it. And they want rice, and this one wants beans. And so that's a whole other ball. That's just having multiple kids though. But overall, sensory play encourages creativity. It is huge in cause and effect. What happens when I fill this cup up too high and then dump it into this other cup? It's great for fine motor skills. That's my actual favorite. I use chickpeas in some of them, and they can, a lot of people want toddler, or think a good option for toddlers is rice. And just having twins as my third and fourth kid, I also thought that. I would recommend chickpeas because they are a choking hazard, but they can pick them up. And toddlers love to help. You should see them help pick up rice. It doesn't go well. But the chickpeas are small enough that they can, you know, use their pincer grasp. They can pick them up and help. They can help scoop and dump back into the bin when they accidentally dump it out. They can do all kinds of things. But also, it's a lot of problem solving. It builds creativity. But there's actual proof that it can, I had to write this down because sometimes I say it incorrectly. But there's a lot of proof in the neural connections in your brain, in the brain. Hand-eye coordination is huge. That scoop, and you'll see it with a young toddler. So I've been doing sensory bins with my toddlers or my kids since they're about, I started the twins super young, probably much younger than most kids, but I'd say probably 13, 14 months old on up. And you can see the development of the problem solving. Like, so that you can see that they originally, they scoop it and it goes flying. And then slowly as they work on it, they realize, okay, I have to go slower. And you can see them develop that skill of balancing like a large scoop and then pouring it into the container. And at first it'll go all over. And then the next few times they'll make it into the container and they'll realize, oh, I can do that. And so some of the things that I think go unnoticed are some of the most beneficial ones. So just the ability to focus. And without distractions, my youngest son really, he was in first steps for all kinds of, for speech and OT. And that was one of their things when he graduated from first steps that was brought to the school district for his IEP, was that his attention to focus, unless it was a preferred task. And so I've seen him with sensory play be able to really hone in on things that not necessarily, he has a truck every time, but he will add like a shark every once in a while and just different items and different size containers. And he will play for 45 minutes.
That's amazing. He's
if
three?
I let him. He's three. Now we started really young. So that is one thing. I'm pretty strict with the rules. But not a mean way. We just, no eating, no throwing, and it stays in the bin. And if they do any of those things, I just put it away. Yeah. And try again later. And my youngest two are much better at it than my oldest. My oldest, it took a lot longer than that. I mean, at three, he was not necessarily dumping, but he was, it took more time just because he didn't have the modeling that the other two have. My two oldest have been doing it long enough that they kind of watched them. So I do have a benefit there. but I just feel like it is a place. Sensory play is, it helps develop language. Our speech therapist through first steps always brought a sensory bin until she realized I made them. And then she just grabbed mine. And I kept telling her, I was like, no, bring yours. It's fine. But we ended up using mine most of the time. But, they use it for speech development too. It's just a lot of language skills can be used in sensory play. I love it because it's an activity that spans the ages. So anytime I bring one, or anytime someone else is here at our house and sees ours, adults, teenagers, toddlers, they all kind of gravitate toward it because they just want to touch it. They want to see what it's like. My husband uses one of my sensory bottles every once in a while, he'll pick it up and shake it, you know, when he has a frustrating day. He also broke one on my floor, but that's beside the point. I had a mom buy one a couple weeks ago for herself. She's like, I'm going to take this and I'm going to put it on my desk. And I was like, that sounds great. I would do the same thing. But it's also, sensory play is really good for self-regulation. So if you have a kiddo that gets overwhelmed or has some sensory processing issues, I like to put my son's, he likes it in a corner and he likes it to be his own. And he will sit there when he's upset. He'll go to his bin now and just kind of drive and play. And it seems to really regulate his emotions and help him just be okay.
That's awesome. I didn't think about that. Yeah, like regulating the emotions. I can absolutely see that because it's calming.
It is. Yeah. It's very relaxing. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, since you brought up sensory things, I mean, I teach special education at the high school level. In the past, I've worked in like an essential skills classroom, and those are a lot of things that they do give to students so that they're able to regulate. You know, like if you notice a student's getting agitated, here, let's do this so that you can get back, you know, to the zone that you need to be in, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely calming for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
We have a old, not old, but a sandbox, and I keep it in the garage and I use it for kinetic sand. But that that's would a great actually place probably be a great idea. Yeah. Because during the winter, and we have our garage, we have a gym in there. So sometimes if the kids want to be out there when like my husband's working out, it's like, here, do this, like playing the kinetic sand. But
I also
a lot of the times we don't have the kinetic sand in there. So I could totally use that.
Yeah, you could. I use a storage bin. That's it. Oh. Just a like a 28 quart, like one of the big ones that poured under the bed bin. Under bed bins tend to be longer, so you need a little bit more filler. I like a lot of filler, though, but most kids don't really care. But I just use a storage bin with a lid for my own kids. I have the IKEA sensory table. It's a little overrated. I got it off Facebook Marketplace, so I feel like I got a good deal. But my kids like that one because they want, some of them want to stand. But overall, I think they prefer the one on the floor. And when I'm in my classes, I actually put them on the floor also like that. Like a sand, it's essentially just a smaller sandbox, you know, just depending on what I have in it. But yeah, as long as it's like weatherproof, you should be fine.
That's so cool.
Wow. Yeah. I like, until I saw your stuff, I never actually thought about like getting like a sensory bin for my kid because you're just so used to just going in the motions. Of doing things in your day to day, and like,
and it does seem like a lot too, to teach. Yeah. Like, it's just, is it worth it? Is it worth my time to set it up, take it away when they throw it? And they're not going to sit right away. Like, they're not going to sit for 45 minutes like my kids do. But I will say, I started my kids at 18-ish months, even my oldest, and by three, they have been able to sit for almost 45 minutes. And honestly, my daughters would probably sit longer if I let them. As long as there's mini erasers. I love mini erasers. It's like the search for things. Yes. I saw the bizarre love that they have. They like to search for them in the rice or beans or whatever it is. And then they stack them and they sort them. It's a whole thing.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. Okay. So I did see you have an I Spy jar. Ooh. Have you ever thought of making like I Spy ornaments, like Christmas themed ornaments?
That's cute. No.
I have a friend who teaches in the autism center in our school, and her class has made I Spy ornaments, and then they can take it home and stuff like
that.
And
it's one that you can actually use.
Yeah.
That's like the hardest part about Christmas tree.
I know. Yes. That's been a real challenge.
Real challenge.
Yep. The last couple days.
Says all the toddler parents in the world.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. Ooh, that are in a container. One day we'll hang them up.
Have you also thought about the opposite side of the age spectrum. And I just thought about that.
So I have been approached for memory care unit.
Yeah, I was going to say memory care because my dad has a rare form of dementia. Alzheimer's patients, they need that sensory. I used to work in hospice, so a lot of our patients had Alzheimer's and dementia. And most of them, most of the females, they had baby dolls. And they needed that, or they had little rags and they would roll the rags between, pill the rags in their fingers. And they need that sensory.
I have a family member that mentioned that to me. That is something that I would like to explore next year. Because I always add just little projects on each year. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do, I can't really do too much because I still have three that aren't in school and it's just too much. And so that was something I wanted to explore. I don't know how to tap into that though. I don't know who to contact, but that
I would
is something
look
that
at
I
your
would
local memory care units. There's a plenty of memory care units. If you ever need one, just let me know. I know plenty of them. All you have to do is reach out to the coordinators because they have care coordinators or they have event coordinators there sometimes where they're or they have OT or PT that will do activities with them. And so they'll work on stuff with them. There's one, what's it called? It's in Wentzville. But their memory care, they have their own little nook of crafts.
Oh, I love that.
For them. So if they want to sit down and have them sit in the craft area, they will put them in the craft area. So it's really neat. I think that would be definitely something because
I think that would be just wonderful. I don't know. That's definitely on my radar though, because one of my family members mentioned that she just left. She was an activities coordinator, but she was in somewhere in Illinois, close to Chicago. And she was like, I would love these activities. She would ask me for, and she'd start to try to make things. And I was like, okay, that's good. I didn't even think of that. So I think that's a wonderful. So it's funny that you mentioned that because that is on my list for January. Things to look into and figure out.
Probably be very successful in it. It would just be another added thing because just from working in that side of the medical world, I think it's needed because they need something. Otherwise, that's where they get the negative behaviors in the facilities because they can't focus on anything else. Yeah, they just need something else to focus on.
I appreciate you mentioning that.
Absolutely. Really
helpful. Make sure I remember these things too. Always.
I'm just happy we are talking to you tonight because I was looking at your website and I eyed those Christmas ones, Taylor. I was like,
I know. They're so cute.
I was really excited about the Christmas one this year. I was like, so shiny. I haven't put my own kids out yet, so they're man.
Do you do all of the St. Louis Moms events with them?
I've done two.
Okay.
The first one I did, it rained just all day. It was awful, but we made it through. I was drenched just from head to toe, but those women that run that are fantastic and super helpful. And but no, I've done that, and I did their back to school heroes. That's not the right name, but whatever event they do in August each year, I did that this year.
Cool,
but that's all so far. Hopefully they'll ask me again. It was pretty fun, although it rained that day too. So I think it might be bad luck for them. Just stormed both days like crazy.
Oh no, they're probably thinking we don't need Mallory back. We're good.
I made that joke. I was like, I hope you invite me back. I'm so sorry I bring such bad weather, because it definitely felt like it was me. But,
oh gosh, so
we'll see. I guess.
Oh man. Well, this is just I feel like we've gotten so much information from you tonight about all of the things that you provide. You even have slime.
I do. Yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's amazing. We have bad luck with slime in our house, but that is really neat.
Vinegar and warm water. It'll and you rub it circular. I've done a lot of slime. It's gotten all over me. I've done it at my play dates. So it's questionable, but it does help. Doesn't get it out of everything, but it does help.
Okay. Well, my soon to be 5-year-old will say, "We don't do slime." And I usually say, "Why don't we do slime?" And she'll say, "Cause I got it in my hair once."
Oh man. Like, my 5-year-old got it in her hair too. She gets everything in her hair. It's just, even if it's up, she'll just flip it around and it'll right in the ketchup. Mm-hmm. And it's like, come on. But no, yeah. I got hers out with vinegar. We just kind of soaked it, like her little ponytail in it. And it worked. I don't know how good it was for her hair, but it worked.
It came out.
But it wasn't a ton either, though. But did you have to cut it?
No. I think she cried for a while because I had to, like, work it out. It was a lot of slime.
Oh, yeah. No.
It was a bad day. We had my husband thought he, like, put it away correctly, and it's in our, like, activities closet that we have. Yeah. And there's still purple slime all the way down the wall in the activities closet that from like two years ago that I've yet to handle because I just don't want to.
Well, and it'll probably stain the wall. I mean, it'll probably leave like a grease stain when
at this point, that or cut the drywall.
Yeah.
Just cut it right out.
Just cut a hole out of it. It'll be fine. Throw it away.
Exactly.
Oh, slime. Yeah. But so that's kind of the reason I started the play dates. That's what my classes are called. They're called Sense of Play Dates. That's part of the reason I started the Sense of Play Dates is because I will do that for you and then you don't have to do it at your house.
That's amazing.
So that is why I do it.
So you host those?
I do local parks on my own throughout all the warm months. I had one the beginning of November because it was so nice. I wish I would have done them all through November because it was beautiful this month. But I typically end, you know, around Halloween because it starts to get chilly, except for this year. And then I move into Kirkwood. And so I do it at their community center. And then I also host at different places. There's a new place out in Ellisville. It might be Chesterfield. But there's a new place opening out there called Your Village. And her and I have chatted about using like their party room as like where I can host a class. I've done them at We Rock the Spectrum in Fenton. But over the winter, I am solidly at Kirkwood twice a month.
That's so cool.
And then I do 2 to 3 classes over the summer, or like in the warmer months outside. I try to do a weekday and I try to do at least one weekend a month so I can get any working parents the ability to come because I get a lot of nannies through the school year. I get a lot of nannies for the summer too, but I try to do that weekend date because then I get to see the actual parents with the kids, which is nice. Yeah.
I would have totally sent my kids with a nanny this summer to you.
Yeah.
I haven't known about it.
But you can come next summer. Because we do 3, depending on the amount of kids I have coming, we do 3 to 4 sensory bins, and it's the big one. I try to do at least one bin that you can easily do at home. So, like, for example, like popcorn kernels and farm animals. Yeah. That's one I brought throughout the fall. Super easy, low prep. You probably have everything except for maybe the popcorn, but it's really cheap, which is helpful. But I like, and then I do the theme ones that I create. With paint that you don't, like I said, don't necessarily need, but fun. And then I do 3 to 4 process art type and messy art invitations. So I have a fort that I decorate with like balloons and they can paint the balloons and hit them with their paintbrushes and then they're covered. It's kind of like splatter painting. I've made slime. We've done, you know, the tops that spin. I don't know, your kids may not be old enough yet, but Beyblades, which are like they're like tops that have a twisty on top and press the button and they spin. Like we did those in paint on a table. I did fly swatter painting, slinky painting, just some fun, messy projects that they don't really get to do any other time, but it also lets them explore the different paint choices, tools, things like that. Because I mean, not very often you paint with a fly swatter.
Well, Tay, do you want to ask your favorite question.
Yeah, I was about to say, do you feel like we've talked about everything tonight? Do you feel like there's anything that we've left out or anything that you want to touch on before we end?
I told you about my play date, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, I told you that.
At Kirkwood.
I am at Kirkwood Community Center. I have two December dates, but by the time this airs, one will probably be over, right? Because you publish this on Sundays.
Yeah, so this one will come out this upcoming Sundays.
Yeah, so I have a play date on Saturday, but so that's helpful to you. But I have one on December 13th at Kirkwood Community Center, and then I have two in January 6th, which is a Saturday morning, and then January 15th, which is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So your big kids are off school, probably.
Yeah.
And it's a good time to come hang out. It'll be cold, but nice and warm.
Yeah.
But I also have a coupon code that I wanted to offer people that listen to your podcast.
Thank you.
I don't know how you want me to deliver that to you. Do you want me to just tell you what it is?
You can say it right now if you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just MAP10, the number 10. And it's just for 10% off if you want to check out my sensory kit. It will not work for Kirkwood playdates, but it will work for my private playdates when I have them on my own. So I'll keep it active probably forever because I forget. But I think we talked about everything else other than I just wanted to make sure I mentioned the next few play dates they have because December's crazy. So it's always up in the air. But January, when you're looking for something to do. But my play dates are $25 for family, not for kids.
Okay.
So that's for family. I have a large family and it's super expensive to take my kids anywhere. So I try to make it to where it's priced reasonably, even just the twins when I take them somewhere, it's like $100. So $25 per family.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, that's super nice.
I know.
Also, before we ask, Sam asks the last question. Do you want to share your social media, your website, and everything like that, so that anybody listening can come and find you?
Sure. Do I need to say it out loud?
I mean. Yes. I mean, I have it. I have your website and you sent everything to us in the email.
I can't say my website. I use Instagram and Facebook. It's just Sense of Play LLC.
Perfect.
On everything.
Okay. All right. Cool.
So, that's it.
Easy enough. Sense of Play LLC. Look them up.
Yes. Please.
And then our favorite last question that we love to ask everyone. If you could reach any parents, I guess, who are thinking about getting a sensory bin or who have never done one and are making the possibility of thoughts of doing one with their children, what would you say to them to push them to, I guess, either start it or continue it in any for any beneficial way or any kind of thought that you want to?
I would tell them to have a plan. Designate a play space, a big sheet, like a top sheet, the larger the better, top sheet, a shower curtain, designate a space where you're comfortable with them spilling because they will the first time. Be comfortable setting your boundaries, and be ready to enforce them because we all know kids can weasel their way into. You don't mean that. Or you said last time, but didn't follow through. You know, we all know kids do that. But my biggest thing is set a space big enough, a designated play space. Kids do better with visuals to where they can see this is where I play with my sensory bin. It's not over there by the floor vents, because my kids have done that. That's fun. It's this white large sheet in the middle of the living room. I think that's the biggest thing is to be ready. Just prepare yourself. I think I personally do better when I know what to expect. They're going to pour it out. They might try to eat it. They might dump it at, or they might overfill a container and it go everywhere. But I think the biggest thing is just being prepared for if this is your child's first experience with a sensory bin, you take a deep breath and realize that they probably didn't do it on purpose. And just be ready to teach them how you want to play it. Because you can't show them how to play because that will lose a lot of the benefits, but you can show them the rules, like showing them that it stays on this play space. Because I know in my play dates, I don't really stress a whole lot about spills because that's sort of the whole point is for them to be able to explore and I clean up. But I have sheets set out or tarps or whatever I have, wherever I'm at. To designate that play space because it's a visual and it helps kids know, okay, no, that stays here on this sheet. Like we don't leave this area for this bin. And it really, I have very few problems with kids transferring things around the room. It really just takes one reminder or one or two reminders for kids too to realize that, oh, that's not what we do here. Don't be afraid to put it away. Maybe that's my tip. Okay. Don't be afraid to take it away and try again later.
Well, thank you so much. And thanks. For all of our listeners, make sure you check her out, Sense of Play LLC, MOP, MOP10 for discount. So that's amazing that she's offering it. So thank you so much. And we hope you guys have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Mother of All Podcasts. Our podcast is recorded and edited by Sam and Taylor using Spotify for Podcasters. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe to our show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you really liked us, you can find us online for more information at www.motherofallpodcast.com or on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And we will see you next week.